I am Susan Young. I am chair of the Pacifica National Board. It is 7:32 and we are rocking and rolling here. This is the Pacifica National Board regular session teleconference meeting of September 5th, 2024. And we are starting now at 8:30-something Eastern Standard Time. Will the secretary please take the roll?
You bet. It's 8:32. Irene Adams.
Here.
Thank you, Irene. Teresa Allen.
Present.
Thank you, Teresa. Kaja Brown.
Present.
Thank you, Kaja. Donna Carter.
Present.
Thank you, Donna. Paul DiRienzo. I'll keep going. Jim Dingaman.
Here.
Thank you, Jim. Vanessa Dixon Briggs. I'll keep going. Fred Dodsworth.
I am here. Thank you.
Thank you, Fred. Jan Goodman.
Here.
Thank you, Jan.
Here. Okay.
Yep. Gotcha. Heather Gray. I'll keep going. Avalia Jones.
I'm present.
Thank you, Avalia. Zach Caldvier.
Here.
Thank you, Zach. Marianne Martinez.
Here.
Thank you, Marianne. Darlene Pagano.
Here.
Gotcha, Darlene. Ron Pinchback.
Here.
Thank you, Ron. Myla Reason.
I'm here.
Thank you, Myla. Sean Rhodes.
I'm here.
Thank you, Sean. Serene Roberts. I'll keep going. Minerva Sanders.
Present.
Thank you, Minerva. Harvey Wasserman. I'll keep going. Egberto Willis. I'll keep going. Susan Young.
Here.
Thank you, Susan. Let me go back up to the top just in case anybody joined. Paul DiRienzo. Vanessa Dixon Briggs. Heather Gray. Serene Roberts. Harvey Wasserman. Egberto Willis.
I see Paul DiRienzo's tile.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, thank you, Paul. Marked present. Okay. That is quorum, Madam Chair. Let me continue with the others. Stephanie Wells.
Here.
Thank you, Stephanie. Arthur Schwartz, although I don't know that we expect him this early. Julie Hewitt, I am here. Aki Tanaka, I believe, is not going to join us this evening. Yes, Madam Chair, you have quorum.
Excellent. Arthur may join us because there is an item to which he is prepared to speak. So we'll see. Who is 2394?
That's Harvey Wasserman.
Okay. Harvey.
No, it's Jan. I'm sorry. I fucked up.
2394 is Jan? Okay. Jan, She already did speak up. Okay. I will read the agenda. Preliminary items, 5 minutes, call to order by the chair, roll call by the secretary, report out from the executive session of August 15th. The PNB met in closed session to hear a confidential report from the ED regarding financial, contractual, and personnel matters. Excused absences. Do we have any requested excused absences? Not at this time. Myla, can I get through the rest of the agenda?
Okay, sure. Great. I'd like to amend the agenda, but after
you. So wait till I read through it and then request to amend it. Great.
Madam Chair, just pinch back briefly. Could you tell everybody to mute themselves?
Will everybody mute themselves? And Ron, yes, Ron was recognized, right?
I got him.
Thank you all. Let's see. Identified timekeepers. Irene, I think we're still within your 4-month window. Are you willing to serve as a timekeeper for the agenda items?
Sure, I would be happy to.
Thank you very much. Fred, are you willing to serve as the timekeeper for people?
Yes.
Great. Excellent. Okay. Agenda approval for the open portion of the agenda, 5 minutes. Approve open session minutes, 5 minutes. Motion to amend, rescind a previously adopted motion. See appendix. Committee motions carried over from August 15th. See appendix. And those are motion NFC to approve KPFT budget motions from the Governance Committee. ED report and Q&A, 30 minutes, old business, see Appendix 15, new business, 5, and I'll read those agenda items when we get there because a lot of them are covered in the Governance Committee report. New business, 5 minutes, motion to move into closed session at a time no later than 10:30. Number 10, agenda approval for the closed portion of the agenda, 5 minutes. 11, approval of closed session minutes, 5 minutes. 12, motion on personnel matter, see appendix, 10 minutes. 13, confidential general counsel report and Q&A. 14, confidential ED report and Q&A. 15, I'm reading the confidential. There's a disciplinary proceeding, and then there's 16 unfinished confidential business, 17 new confidential business, 18 report out by Pacifica.org, and for reading at the next open session, adjourn at time certain of 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So, Myla, what is the motion that you are, the amendment you're offering?
I'd like to move that we move the number 6, the item in the open session, the report from our executive director. I'd like to move that up to above the number 4. So it would be number 4 and then all of the numbers below. So 4 would become 5, 5 would become 6. And then I guess we'd be in the same order. So, ED, please, let's move that up.
Is there any objection? Okay, hearing none, that's moved up to be the new number 4. 6 is the new number 4. 4 becomes 5. 5 becomes 6. Are there any other motions to amend? Hearing none, is the agenda approved as amended? No objections. It is approved. So the first item will be approve open session minutes. Let me just comment here that we are behind in the minutes, and we have the great good fortune that somebody from the KPFA station area has offered to help us get up to speed on our agendas, on our minutes. So I am hoping that we will have a number of minutes for everybody to approve at the September 19th meeting. So we'll move on from there. Next is the ED report in Q&A, 30 minutes. Stephanie, are you ready?
Yes, I am. Thank you. The confidential ED report has been sent to everyone and also the report that can be shared with the LSBs and the committees. There's really not much of a difference between the two. For those listening, all we don't have in there is the names of the vendors of our known payables as of today. So as of today, our payable amount is $822,712. We have made a significant drop in a lot of our aged payables due to paying them off, and also negotiating quite a few of our vendors as we try to decrease the amount of some of these past due payables. And we're very grateful for a lot of our vendors who have been very patient with us and very willing to work with us. As far as our FJC and SBA EIDL loan updates, we're still awaiting the removal of the lien on the LA building from the SBA. Everything is moving forward successfully. It's just, you know, waiting for the at the speed that the SBA wants to move. But I'm able to log into the portal on a regular basis and sort of take a look at how the progress is going. It's anticipated that the lien should be removed within the next couple of weeks. Once the lien is removed by the SBA, then FJC will remove their lien from the building as well. One of the things I have reported on in the past, but we'll bring it up again, is that we were approved by the SBA for the hardship accommodation program, meaning that that loan is no longer in default. The past due payments for that loan have been moved to the end of our loan, and we are now required to pay 10% of our monthly payment in order to keep us current. So that's approximately $860 a month, which is very affordable, and our first payment will be paid prior to the due date of 9/11. As far as the Los Angeles building sale, we are working still with the potential buyer and their offer of $4.5 million for the Los Angeles property. Everything is moving forward as planned. They've sent out building inspectors. There were no problems reported that, you know, any sort of new problems that we reported. They've sent out arborists as well to look at the trees that are in the parking lot and next to the building, and we haven't had any problems with their reports as well. One of the things that the buyer has agreed to do is to allow occupancy of the building for 14 days after the close of escrow, and that will allow us to vacate the property and have the money that is needed to do those final moves of some of the larger pieces of equipment and furniture and things like that, and get a dumpster and all those things that we'll need to do. The Pacifica Radio Archives and the Archive Legacy Digitization Project update. The radio archives is being restructured, and it's currently being managed by the Pacifica Foundation National Office, and this includes licensing and material requests, as well as continuing to oversee the Pacifica Foundation Archive Legacy Project. And just as a reminder, what that is the Pacifica Foundation Archive Legacy Project, in collaboration with the American Archive of Public Broadcasting, the WGBH Educational Foundation, the Library of Congress, and the Mellon Foundation, is the cataloging, digitization, curation, and storage of the historic 80,000 plus pieces in our collection of the radio archives. In addition to saving this, obviously, we know, priceless collection, just a reminder, the Pacifica Foundation will maintain the intellectual property and licensing rights of the collection, and we will continue to own the physical materials, which will be returned to us after the digitization process. The UCLA School of Education and Information Studies approved our application for two interns to assist with prepping the archive materials for digitization. The WGBH Educational Foundation is providing us a grant of $2,500 under the title of Preserving Endangered Media. And these funds will be used to offset the cost of hiring two interns who will create an item-level spreadsheet inventory of all the media approved for digitization. And this will include a unique identifier number per item. And also on the spreadsheet will be any information present on the tape or tape label, such as the series title, episode title, date, physical format, duration, etc., whatever we can find that's on there. Each item will then have this matching unique identifier number affixed to the item and the box prior to packaging each item as per archival guidelines, which will then be shipped to the digitization vendor. We are working on getting matching funds for this WGBH grant as well. We're also in the beginning stages of submitting a grant to the National Endowment for the Humanities Division of Preservation and Access to help support the expense of storage and storage materials for the collection, such as racks, archival sleeves, dehumidifiers, etc., while we continue to go through this digitization process. If qualified, we will be applying for the maximum amount, which is $30,000, and I will keep you posted as we move forward with that. Audit and taxes update. The 2022 and 2023 990s, both state and federal, will be filed before the calendar year end, and the 2024 990 will be filed within the first 45 days of 2025, barring no concerns. The national office is paying for the process of getting this started rather than waiting for the proceeds of the sale of the building. Once the audit process begins, that we will need funding from the proceeds of the sale of the building. If there are any sort of material changes that might warrant any sort of amended return, then we will do that and submit it to the IRS. And that was per recommendation from our auditors and accountants. The audits for fiscal year 22 and 23, we've determined with our auditors that those will be compiled jointly, which will lessen the overall expense and actually speed up the process of getting them both done. And then fiscal year 24 will be compiled as a standalone audit. We did get a report from our National Election Supervisor, ballot phase update number 2. It was attached to the ED report, but I will go ahead and read that so everybody can hear it. Ballot phase update number 2, dated September 5th, 2024. And it's dated underneath that August 15th through September 30th, 2024. Voting. The balloting, voting, campaigning phase for the 2024 Pacifica delegate election is in process. There are 9 total. There was no WPFW staff election that is necessary because they have the same number of people that were needed. A handful of paper ballots have been sent out. Voting progress towards quorum is 25% of staff to vote and 10% of listeners is as follows. She does have a asterisk which says that as of 1:23 p.m. today, KPFT staff has made quorum with their voting. So the station, KPFA, we have 8.4% of the progress towards quorum, which is 996 out of 11,860. With staff, it's 16.8%, which is 33 out of 196. For KPFK, 5%, 223 out of 4,401. And for the staff, it's 16.1%, 37 out of 229. For KPFT, listener is 7.2% or 223 out of 3,122. And as I said earlier, the staff as of 1:23 did make their quorum with 29% voting with 43 out of 146. For WBAI, listeners are 4.7% or 225 out of 4,762. With staff coming in at 14.2% or 15 out of 105. WPFW listener is 6.7% or 403 out of 6,014. And with staff, it's not applicable because they had enough people to fill the roles. Again, all these numbers are in the ED report or in the NES report attached to the ED report that is available also to be shared with committees and LSBs. Candidate forums. All forums have been completed and recordings will be sent to members via e-campaign on Tuesday, September 10th. Optional candidate carts are in production at KPFK and WBAI, and it is up to the management of each station to determine if they want to continue with this tradition. Fair campaign provision violations. Fair campaign provision violations are being dealt with on a case-by-case basis. A recent violation, KPFA LSB members sent updates to KPFA membership lists without NES approval has been resolved. Involved parties have been warned and the FCP has been strengthened. Rule number 4 is below. I'll read that. The NES sign-off on correspondence to the listeners during this election period is necessary to ensure equal distribution of KPFA resources and in this case the membership list access. The Fair Campaigns Provisions Violation submitted and her response will be posted online next week. Rule number 4, which was referenced in the statement above, station resources, including but not limited to staff services, airtime, social media, endorsement, station equipment, and meeting space, must be provided equally to all candidates. This applies to the use of station membership lists as these are key station resources used to communicate with members. during the election period, any e-campaign or physical mailing, which includes information related to the local station board, delegate election-related materials, or any materials that may directly or indirectly affect members' behaviors during the nomination and balloting period, must be approved by the National Election Supervisor prior to being sent out to avoid the introduction of bias. Failure to do so will result in a strike and could result in the disqualification of candidates. So again, this report is attached to the ED report, both the confidential and the non-confidential, which can be shared. And any questions that anyone has for the NES can be sent to nes@pacifica.org. Does anyone have any questions?
All right. Let me just first note that I think we have a couple of people who have joined us. Heather, would you mind saying that you're here? We'll come back to her, and then I believe that that Serene Roberts has joined us. There she is. Serene's got her hand up. Serene, would you mind saying your name?
I'm present, Serene.
Okay, great. And hands up, our first Jim Dingman, then me, then Serene. Jim.
Well, Susan Harvey Wasserman is here.
Oh, okay. Great. Thank you for saying. Do you have your hand up, or are you just announcing that you're here?
No, that's it. I'm just announcing.
Great. Sorry, Jim Dingman.
All right. Thank you. Stephanie, I just was curious if you could give an overview of your opinion as to where we're at in terms of unsent premiums, thank you gifts, if you will, that happened, as we all know, before the FCC agreement. In other words, there's literally must be hundreds, if not thousands of people who are owed premiums. And how are we going to deal with that? How are we dealing with that in this situation now? Thank you.
WPFW, KPFK, and WBAI had unsent premiums. The WPFW had probably, I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but I know that they were mailed out when the IGM took place, or when the IGM got put in April. By the end of that month, she had personally sent everything out or provided alternate premiums or refunds. They were close to, I believe, maybe 300 or 400 that were sent out, so they don't have any outstanding. KPFK had a few water filters that needed to be sent out. There's money that is still owed to that company. So the membership department, we are working with them and the company to determine what has been refunded and what can be sent out. And the same thing is that we're either sending out what we have, providing refunds, or we are providing alternate premiums. So there isn't anything outstanding at that station either. The station that had the most outstanding premiums was WBAI. That list was provided, I believe, to everybody. I can pull up what those numbers were, but I have to pull it up on my computer. And they've been working diligently to try to send those out. I believe that they have close to probably, I was just told this a couple of weeks ago. I believe that they've sent out close to 200 or 300 premiums that were past due over the last few weeks. But that still is putting it, I can pull up the chart as to what those numbers were. So it is a priority, and with many individuals, the general managers, the membership directors, the program directors, and even myself are calling individuals to apologize and ask them if they would like a replacement, if they have received a refund, or would like a refund.
All right. My question, first of all, I'd like to recognize that Arthur Schwartz has joined us. Arthur, would you be kind to say hello?
Hello.
Great. My question, Stephanie, is there's such a great story to tell about the legacy project for the archives. Can we put anything on the Pacifica.org website that helps get that story out there?
There were some minor issues and bugs on the back end of that website that we're needing to work out to try to get in and make some of those changes. There was just some maintenance issues that we need to work on, so we're working to try to get that out. But basically the statement, when I've talked with people or they've called me or we're dealing with the licensing agreements is that, and again, this is stated in the ED report, is that the Pacifica Radio Archives Department is being restructured and is currently being managed by the Pacifica Foundation National Office. That includes licensing and material requests, which we have signed 2 licensing agreements recently and have also been providing transcriptions or materials to people as required and as when they call us. And this project basically is that it's in the process of moving forward. We have a collaboration with the American Archive of Public Broadcasting, the WGBH Educational Foundation, the Library of Congress, and the Mellon Foundation, and that we are actively cataloging everything to be digitized for curation and storage of 80,000 plus pieces of material. And we will maintain the intellectual property and licensing rights. So
that the report that you have given in your ED report will be located on the website when we get there so that people can understand where the archive is, how we're moving forward on that.
Correct. Serene, and as the pieces of materials are chosen to be sent out, once they get sent out, and we have, again, what the UCLA School of Education and Studies, Information Studies students will be doing for us in addition with our assistants, is creating this list. And as we build up that list, I will share that so people know what is being digitized, because there'll be quite a few gems that I think many of us will be happy to see what those are.
So, Serene, then Heather, then back to Jim.
Hi, thanks, Stephanie. I had requested a copy of the election buddy contract, and I think I've asked Renee for it, and she sent the request to you. I haven't seen it. Have you sent it out to the board yet?
No, I will get that from Renee.
Okay, Heather.
Okay. Wait.
Sorry, Serene, you're not through.
Okay. No, I'm not. But your interruption has made me forget my question. I'll come back. Go ahead, Heather.
Oh, well, thanks. So, Stephanie, thank you so much for the report about the archives. And I was wondering if we could, I think it'd be really great if we could promote the archives, you know, more than what we've done in the past, actually. And I'd love to be getting information out to the affiliate stations about what's available in the archival material. Do we have anything like that? Do we have like a press release or anything like that along the lines that would explain the archival materials? Or could we develop something like that if we don't have it now?
I mean, I think we could develop something like that.
Absolutely.
Because what we have isn't new, but what's exciting is what we will find. You know, just we were back at the storage facility this past week, but just kind of, you know, climbing through all of these boxes and reading some of the things on the paperwork, is, you know, that some of them have papers attached to the side of what is in there. It's pretty fascinating. So once we get a good grasp, we have a grasp of what we have, but I think the true exciting thing will be figuring out what we didn't know we had.
So just so everyone knows, actually, and thank you for that, Stephanie, I'm looking forward to talking with you more about this, but I've used the archival materials as well. I mean, you know, like interviews and discussions with W.E.B. Du Bois. I mean, it's just amazing, just remarkable availability on the history in the archival materials. It's absolutely wonderful. So anyway, this is the beginning of this process. I think I'd like to talk with you more about it. And are on the board and hear from other board members about this as well. So thanks, Stephanie. Thank you.
Okay, Serene, sorry for interrupting. Back to you and then to Jim.
Thanks, Stephanie. My question is, with regard to the dissolution of the PRA unit. You described it at, I can't remember which meeting there was last week, some meeting you were on, as having absorbed the PRA unit into the CNO unit. And I would appreciate your providing us with something in writing about how you perceive your role with regard to the established units. You went through a lot of effort a couple of years ago to make the affiliates, for example, their own unit. PRA was its own unit, and without any consultation with the board, suddenly, you know, those staff people, some of whom will get to be consultants at the work that they had been staff at for, you know, decades, were sort of gone. So I would like you to present something formally explaining how you see your role in determining which units we have and how they operate, et cetera, because that decision was quite a shock. I know not everything can be discussed in closed session, but we sort of vaporized the unit, and that's problematic. That's concerning, shall I say. So would you be able to do something like that?
Yes, the unit itself is still standalone. It has its own bank account. It still has its own budget. It's still a unit on its own. It has not been dissolved. It is just being restructured. We still have people, and we're reaching out to some of the former staff members to work as consultants as we move forward with this. It's still moving forward. Any sort of licensing agreements that we've had, two of them so far, the money is going to the PRA. Again, it's still a standalone unit. It's just being restructured until we can get a better business model to figure out how it can become an income, generate income and provide the premiums and the materials that are necessary for the stations moving forward. But we are still providing materials as necessary. We've got caught up with paying back a lot of the past due bills. We prohibited the storage units from being sold in auction just mere days before that was about to happen. And we're really just taking a close look at the books and completely restructuring it. But it is not dissolved. It is not gone.
Wow.
It's still a standalone unit. And again, with its own budget, with its own bank account, it's just being restructured.
Let me caution that anything anything having to do with personnel issues in any more detail need to be addressed in executive session, and I know you understand that.
Anything having to do with individual personnel issues, but
Time is up. So, Jim, you're next. Jim?
Point of personal privilege, please. I need to know how much time to give Jim in this go-round.
60.
Thank you.
Well, okay. I think that, first of all, it's very exciting we're going to get this stuff digitized. And as I mentioned in the meeting a few weeks ago, the American Historical Association will be in New York in January. So what I'm concerned about is that we really need to begin thinking about marketing this stuff in a deeper way. And I may even entertain that we set up a task force to just simply start to talk about the marketing of these archives material. Because given everything that's happened with the consent decree and everything else, we're going to be sitting there looking at that kind of material as a product much more than we have in the past. And I don't want an opportunity like the AHA to be missed and other opportunities coming up. So I may just make a motion that I think that this would be something we need to do. We need to set up a separate entity or group of people in the board, bringing other people too, to start figuring out how to market this stuff.
Hey, anyone else have a question? All right, we're ready to move on to the next item, which we're going back to what had been agenda item number 4, and it is now agenda item number 5, motion to amend, rescind a motion previously adopted. I will read this motion, and we have Arthur here to address it. Motion to amend, rescind a motion previously adopted, whereas the candidates who ran for positions as local station board delegates in 2023 were initially notified by the NES that they were running for 3-year terms And whereas the delayed 2022 election resulted in a conflict in the bylaws between electing delegates to three-year terms in 2023 and getting back on the bylaws schedule of holding elections in years one and two of the three-year election cycle. Whereas in a motion passed August 17th, 2023, the 2023 PNB chose getting back on the bylaws scheduled for elections, limiting the terms of the LSB delegates elected in 2023 to 2 years, which motion was passed 2 days after the delegate elections began, and whereas the motion passed by the PNB was not fully implemented, therefore be it resolved that the PNB finds that honoring the three-year terms clause, although it may affect the schedule of future elections, to be the lesser injury to the bylaws and is clarifying that the terms of the LSB members who were elected in 2023 shall be three-year terms ending 2026. Is there a second? Okay, so Fred seconds. Arthur, we, members of the board requested that you provide a written opinion, which you have and which we circulated to everybody. Would you like to address this matter, or would you be kind to? Arthur? You're there somewhere.
Sorry, I was muted. which is unusual. I don't know if everybody got the memo that I put out, but what I wrote in the memo, I'm going to add something to it that I didn't put in here, but that I remembered now that just, listening to the resolution. The resolution in 2023, which shortened the terms of the delegates being elected in the 2023 LSB election from 3 years to 2 years, created two problems. One, it's pretty clear that Article 4, Section 8 of the bylaws says a delegate's term of office shall be 3 years. Elsewhere in that same section, it talks about, where it talks about the 6 year cumulative ability of people to serve. It again talks about a 3 year term. The board did not have the right to amend. I mean, they had a right to try to amend the bylaws by going through the amendment process, but voting to, voting to shorten the terms of people elected from 3 years to 2 years was not in accordance with the bylaws. So that needs to be fixed. The second part of this, of my opinion, is that in Article 4, Section 3, about the years of elections, it says the key language is elections of delegates shall be staggered over a three-year period with elections for three staff delegates and listener-sponsored delegates held in the first year, elections for three staff delegates and nine listener-sponsored delegates held in the second year, and no elections in the third year. The way that the vote created was a literally elections, so that would be, two elections every 3 years, four elections every 6 years. The way that this turned out is we would have three elections in 3 years. We would have a 2023 election, a 2024 election, and a 2025 election. And we would have no election in 26, and then another one in 27 and 28. So we would have 3 years in a row, which is contrary to the bylaws, but supposed to get a year off. And we'd have five in a 6 year period, which is also, it just would multiply the problem from the first 3 years. So in those two manners, in those two ways, that resolution, which where people were trying to address, you know, we were in the middle of litigation and, we're trying to address, in fact, needs to be, rescinded, or else we are, somebody could go to court and say, I was elected to a 3-year term and I want my 3-year term. And given that there were actually a lot of people elected in that election who, have sued us before, I wouldn't put it past somebody to go do that. So we want to protect ourselves against that. The other thing is that, in looking at the balloting information, when people were circulating their petitions to get on the ballot, it did not say in the notice of nominations did not say that people were running for a 2-year term. And the ballots that was sent out to people did not say that they were electing people to a 2-year delegate term. The only place it was put up on the website, shortly before or shortly after the ballots went out. So the members were not, and the candidates were not aware that they were running for a 2-year term, and the voters were not aware that they were electing people to a 2-year term. So all of that stuff put together, means to me that it's a slam dunk that this resolution needs to be passed.
So thank you very much, Arthur. First, I'll accept a motion and a second to pass this motion and, then go to, questions and comments. Is there a motion?
So moved.
So moved.
So moved. Okay. Is there a second? So Fred moved.
Didn't you grant a motion?
And Myla seconded. So now, people who have questions or comments, Jim, then Serene.
All right. Well, thank you, Arthur. In this particular case, I don't agree with you. The problem
won't be the
started.
First time.
Pardon me? Yeah, right. Won't be the first time. The reasoning, of course, that occurred was that we didn't have the elections several years ago. And that was the start of all this. And then people decided to go to court and fight about it. And then when we made that decision in 2023, it was in the midst of trying to resolve that. And the reasoning, as far as I was concerned, was sound. We're trying to get the whole situation back on course. Now, obviously, to have like a couple elections in right after one on top of each other is a little ridiculous. And I totally agree with that. But, I think it was erroneous when people stated they weren't informed because, you know, I mean, again, we don't have good record keeping. Our record keeping is not necessarily up snuff. So unfortunately we couldn't pull everything up right away and sit there and point out, well, X, Y, and Z was done and communicated effectively to people about this when we decided it. But the decision-making was sound to resolve the problems we were having with that litigation in Southern California. And, I think there's another problem here that to do this right now, some of us would look on it as essentially reinforcing a majority on the board. And I think that there's that aspect of it, too, that could not be ignored. But the whole problem started when we perhaps we're erroneously misinformed that there wasn't enough money to have the election.
90 seconds, 5 years ago. Jim.
Okay, thank you, Jim. Serene, and then Myla.
Sure. Before I begin, I thought you brought the motion initially, didn't you, Susan?
Who? No, I read it, but I asked that somebody actually make the motion, and Fred did that.
Okay.
And Myla seconded it.
I heard you say I move. Okay. All right. Not a problem. So it is not true that there was no notice about this. There was inadequate notice. I was one of the people who complained that it was late, that we had already begun the election process. But Renee actually sent the letter to you, Arthur. I just sent you, y'all a copy of it. She sent you that letter last August. You never said this is a problem. Renee herself initially said, oh, no, it's got to be 3 years. And then she went along with everybody else and said, oh, no, okay, it's for 2 years. And here's your notice of that. And that notice was sent to everyone who got mail from her, not just the candidates, but to everyone who got their e-ballot information. So you guys can decide to roll it back because we know that there were some screw-ups, not by the candidates, in Houston that led to New Day getting a tremendous number of people on the board, and that reversing the shortening will in fact prolong the term of the New Day.
Your time is up, Serene.
Thank you. But let's be honest about what we're doing. Thanks.
Sorry, Myla, then Irene.
Thank you. I'd like to remind board members that we have a fiduciary responsibility here, and having an extra election, three elections in a row, will be costly at a time when Pacifica is quite frankly strapped for cash. I think that Arthur's explanation was extremely well articulated. The PNB did not have the authority to change bylaws when they voted to make the terms two-year terms. That was not in accordance with the bylaws on two counts, just as Arthur said. Three elections in 3 years is contrary to the bylaws, and shortening the term to be elected is contrary to the bylaws. Therefore, I fully support this motion to rescind the, I think the motives might have been fine, but we don't need to litigate that at this time. We should just move forward and rescind that previous badly made resolution to shorten the terms. Thank you.
I'm muting myself so noise doesn't happen. Irene, then Jim, then I think, yeah. Irene, well, then.
Well, actually, my comments align with Myla's. It's a cost thing. I don't think that we can afford to do it any other way than every other 3 years. And I'm just saying that if we align it the way that it's outlined in the bylaws, then I think that it would be less costly. We don't have the money for elections like this. We really, an election every year. And I'm just saying it's not aligned.
Thank you. Jim, and this is your second round. It's 60 seconds.
Well, obviously both what Arthur, Myla, and Irene say are all reasonable. And I'm not going to disagree with that. But I go back to that first decision we had to make, which was when we were told we didn't have money for elections to start with. So we were indeed exercising our fiduciary responsibilities several years ago. And then in 2023, we all felt we were exercising our fiduciary responsibilities to settle and put aside a litigious situation in Southern California. So I hear what people are saying. It just gets you an indication of the complexity of this. But I'm going to vote against this because I feel we made the right decision in the past. Thank you.
Serene, this is round two for Serene. 60 seconds.
Before I start, I have a point of information for Arthur.
Go ahead.
Is there any reason why your opinion cannot be shared publicly? The written text, I mean, I know you just said it.
No. I think this is a public session.
This is a public session.
I understand that you said it. That was precisely my question.
I think I wrote on the document non-confidential. So,
in other words, I can share it. Thank you so much. Okay, so I want to go back to correct some of the factoids that are being passed around tonight. We were not in the middle of a hot litigation. The case had been, I think, in April or May. The judge had set aside, or there was a hold on everything because, in fact, this decision from the board came through in August. Nobody was in court in August of 2023. We already knew that the hearing was going to be April of 2024. So this wasn't a pressured decision. And I'm curious as to why you are saying now what you didn't say in 2023 when you were notified about what the board had decided. Why didn't you say a year ago, you know, hey guys, you can't do this? Neither you nor the NES objected to what the board had decided. She sent you the letter and copied the rest of us, DCC the rest of us, on the plan.
And Madam Chair, we have 1:49 on this subject.
Okay, we have to vote. What I'd like to do is to...
No, I'd like Arthur to answer the question.
That's nice, but so what?
I mean, I'll answer.
Hang on.
Yeah.
Besides the fact that I wasn't, it was passed at a public session to be, I usually only come to the executive sessions, which, you know, unless somebody asked me like today to come to this open session. And nobody raised the issue and nobody asked me my opinion. So I saw it and I understood the purpose and nobody objected to it. And so the fact that you found an email that I was copied on by Renee with that motion, what does that prove other than the fact that I knew about it? Now there's an effort to, I was asked for my opinion about whether it was lawful. And to say that there was no litigation, Serene, when you were a plaintiff in the lawsuit, that didn't.
That's not what I said.
Serene, you're out of order. Go ahead, Arthur.
But he's misquoting me.
We were in a number of situations where there were, decisions had to be made, for financial reasons not to have the election in 2022. And then the question that was being litigated in court was what happens to the people who were now going into their, I guess, plus sixth year, and that's what we were in court about, and that's what I was focused on, and what the options were for the board to choose then, and I defended it, and we succeeded in that. Well, we did tell the court we were going to have an election, the 2022 election, and just hold it in 2023. Otherwise, there wouldn't have been an election in 2023. I think that was one of our no election years. And but... what does it prove? Nobody asked my opinion. I didn't look into it, and I didn't give it.
Thank you. Okay, we are exhausting the stack. Okay, Teresa, 90 seconds. Then Paul DiRienzo, 90 seconds, and then we're going to the vote.
I remember that when I voted on it, I voted for the 2-year terms. It was a very complicated issue to me. I don't know why we didn't ask the attorney's opinion at the time, but now that we have the decision of the attorney, I really don't feel that it's a, that, I mean, the way you explained it, Arthur, it looked like we really needed to do something or we would be sued. I don't know that we did anything wrong. I thought we were trying really hard to do what was right, but, for many reasons, one of which I think that we haven't done anything wrong and that we can change it and we would save a lot of money and we would not be in violation of anything to change it to 3 years. I'm going to support this. Thank you.
Okay. Paul, your first speaking, 90 seconds.
Yeah, I just wanted to jump. And I was, you know, anybody who I'm against this motion and, but it's funny because 24 years ago, I was totally, on the other side against this idea of these crazy, yearly elections and all these committees and boards and everything. But in 25 years, I came to see we want to ensure not that we're the most financially, astute station in the network, or group of stations in America, but that we are loyal to our political roots and to put democracy at risk is the wrong idea and the wrong way to go for because the financially stabilizing our network is going to destroy it faster than running it the way we've been running it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Paul. Madam Secretary, will you please take, I think we need a roll call vote on this because it is an important matter, and we've heard that at least there's at least, I think, two who will vote against this. So would you be kind to take the roll?
Indeed. Yes
is to support the motion, and we extend back to 3 years rather than two. No, we stay at two-year terms.
Irene Adams.
Yes, 3 year.
Irene's a yes. Teresa Allen.
Allen says yes.
Teresa's a yes. Kaja Brown?
Yes.
Hodges, a yes. Donna Carter?
Pass.
Donna's passing. Paul DiRienzo?
No.
Paul's a no. Jim Dingaman?
Nope.
Dingaman's a no. Vanessa Dixon Briggs? I don't think she's here. Fred Dodsworth?
Pass, please.
Fred is passing. Jan Goodman?
Yes.
Jan's a yes. Heather Gray?
I'm passing as well just now.
Okay. Heather's passing. Avalia Jones?
I vote yes.
Avalia's a yes. Zach Paul-Veer?
Yes.
Zach's a yes. Marianne Martinez?
Yes.
Marianne's a yes. Darlene Pagano?
Yes.
Darlene's a yes. Ron Pinchback?
Yeah.
Ron's a yes. Myla Reason?
Yes.
Myla's a yes. Sean Rhodes?
No.
Sean's a no. Serene Roberts?
Revisionism. No.
Serene's a no. Minerva Sanders?
Yes.
Minerva's a yes. Harvey Wasserman? Harvey? Did Egberto join us?
No, and I apologize. Egberto was asked for an excused absence. He has a family matter.
Gotcha. Okay. Let me go back up. Donna Carter, you passed?
No.
Donna's a no. Vanessa's not here. Fred Dodsworth, you passed?
Yes, please.
Fred's a yes. Heather Gray?
I vote no. Passed. No.
Heather's voting no. And Harvey, are you available to vote? All right.
He voted no.
I see Harvey's unmuted, but for some reason we're not hearing him.
He just spoke up.
No, that was Serene. Harvey, are you going to vote?
No, Harvey voted no.
He did not.
I didn't hear Harvey. Thank you.
Secretary. Madam Secretary.
So, Ron, you need to be recognized by the chair. So what is it, Ron?
I'd like to change my vote.
Okay.
Go ahead, Ron.
I'd like to change my vote to no.
Okay. Ron's a no.
Right. So let's go ahead and count up the vote.
Harvey's unmuted again. Can we make another try?
Harvey, would you please speak up?
I vote yes.
Harvey voted yes. Okay, gotcha.
Right. I vote yes.
Okay. Thank you, Harvey.
Thank you.
Harvey's a yes. Okay, everyone present, has voted, say, for the chair. The, Madam Chair, the yeses are 12 and the noes are 7. So the vote passes.
So the measure passes. Okay. We are 12 to 7. We are now at, committee motions carried over from the August 15th meeting. And the first one is motion from the NFC to approve the KPFT budget. Darlene, as NFC chair, will you take that up? Muted.
Thank you. I sent an additional copy about, what, an hour and a half, 2 hours ago, so it'd be toward the top of your email. This is the budget that the NFC reviewed with the treasurer, Lyndon Foley, and the GM, Sandy Weinman. They presented and did our answered our questions, and the NFC voted to recommend passage, acceptance of this budget, and bring it up to the PNB. It was delayed from the last meeting because we had to move out of open session so soon, but it's now before us.
And as it's come out of committee, I don't believe it needs a motion. It needs a second. Does someone second?
Second.
Doesn't need a second.
It doesn't. Sorry. Thank you for the correction. Doesn't need a second. Okay. Jim.
All right. This question for Darlene. Could you just provide, I don't know how much, I guess it can, we're now talking publicly about the budget. So perhaps you could share some of the highlights with the listener audience, but I'm concerned as to how many FTEs are in that budget. And the reason, of course, is that one of the holding problems with the CPB, if we ever get back into it, is we always have too few FTEs at KPFT. So I'm just curious if you could, first of all, just give a general synopsis of it, and secondly, how many FTEs are in that estimated budget? Thank you.
I don't believe that they're broken out. Mostly we do not put in our budgets the difference, the different positions. It's cumulative. And if Teresa happens to know, as a director from KPFT, I would encourage her to speak up. I don't know that she does. And the other, well, the thing, one thing is, let's look at the report Renee just sent in, where she gave the total number of staff anyway. So that won't answer how many are FTEs, but it'll give us a good idea of how many staff members KPFT supports. And I can't flip fast enough to get to that without taking a pause. And that would be in this, that we just, excuse me, ED report. Anybody else have the ED report from just a few minutes ago with the NES page? Have it open. ED report, confident, everything.
146, Darlene.
146. Did someone just speak up for that?
That was Stephanie. Stephanie Wells, 146.
Thank you. Thank you. So Jim, I can't tell you how many are paid or unpaid. And I can't tell you of the paid how many are FTEs. Has Teresa had a chance to answer?
No, or Susan, in the past we've had one FTE. I think we're hopeful because we have had successful fund drives that we will be able to afford more, though we have one person who comes and goes who's on contract, and we have several who are paid part-time.
Point of information?
Who was that?
That was me.
Okay.
Maybe yes. Stephanie has the answer. I see Kaja mentioned. Maybe Stephanie has the answer to that.
We did put into the budget the possibility of putting, of having paid staff, because as with a lot of the stations, we do want to try to move into that world. Sorry about that. Move into that world of paying people. So
I believe that would be two. That was the exec, that was the general manager and a program director. And then paying, board ops. But those aren't usually full time.
Okay, Myla, then Serene.
As a courtesy to people who may be listening now or listening in the future to the recording of this meeting, I suggest that when we use acronyms or initials, that we also tell people who just might not know what an FTE is, what the heck we're talking about. I know that on our show, the Harvey and I do, when we say Cal-ISO, not that many listeners know that that's the California Independent System Operator. So would you clarify, please, and say what an FTE is?
All right. Full-time equivalent, and that means both full-time folks and how many part-timers add up to one full-timer. So you're looking at trying to compare your budget full-time to full-time when possible. So that's why it's called a full-time equivalent, because it could be a multitude of people with bits of paid hours.
That looks dangerous.
Serene?
I'm fine to sriracha.
Serene, you have your hand up. You're muted. Serene, you're still muted. There you go.
Yes. Yeah, someone muted me. But I suppose there's not going to be a record of that either. Stephanie, when the budgets, I know you offered a sort of simplified, or what you might have described as a simplified approach to how the budgets are created. Is there a uniform representation of how many full-time equivalents there are at each station in your presentation?
The budgets that are presented to the NFC are not in a simplified version. The simplified often is used when we're submitting things to grants. Then it breaks it down to, like, you know, admin expenses all in one thing, operational, programmatic, development. But the budgets that are presented to the NFC are multi-tab and breaks it down to salaries, taxes, health benefits. All the detail is there.
Does it show the number of FTEs?
In the notes section of each of the of those budgets, it breaks it down even further. On a budget narrative has been presented with some of the budgets as well.
So yes, the FTEs would be, I'm just trying to get a yes or no here.
Correct, yes.
Okay. And Darlene, I actually can't open what you sent, which is my issue, not yours, but did you send the full budget with all of the tabs to the PNB and the narrative?
I don't know where, I'm not remembering a narrative, but yes, the budget comes with all tabs included.
All right.
Wait, I want to find this narrative. Where would the narrative be, Stephanie, if you know?
When the, I did not present the KPFT budget, that was presented by the general manager and their treasurer. So most likely that was in a discussion and broken down to the committee when that was shared and discussed.
I move to postpone until the board gets the narrative. That
Serene, your time is
what
up.
Assumptions were, I'm in the middle of a motion. What
still, there's a, there's what a motion. There's a motion to postpone.
I'm trying to speak. Can I finish the motion?
Go ahead.
I move to postpone until the board is provided with the narrative that explains the assumptions in play behind these numbers. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense for us to say, okay,
so
well, you know,
you've made the motion and now you're motivating. Is there
Thank
a
you.
Second for Serene's motion? fails for a second. Okay, yes, Fred?
No, I was just going to call the question.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Chair, I second it. I would like to see the narrative.
Okay, so
who spoke? Chair? That was Kasia? Chair?
Yes.
There's an assumption that there is a written narrative.
And there was not a narrative, as Stephanie said, there was not a narrative written by her. The general manager and the treasurer did not write a narrative. They gave a verbal explanation. Fred, then Myla.
I'm calling the question.
Okay. Is there any objection to calling the question, which is voting on the motion to postpone?
May I just get a word in?
Well, then we'll put it in the stack. Myla?
I just want to say that the National Finance Committee, or NFC, meeting during which we reviewed the KPFT budget is recorded. And if any directors would like to examine that, just a second, there's a lot of extra noise. If any directors are interested in listening to that discussion, they are certainly free to do that. This is something that we anticipated would be on the agenda tonight, and I would like to move forward and approve the budget. And if any directors have problems with the budget after they look at the budget and listen to the narrative, I think that we can revisit. But for now, I think we just need to move along. Thank you.
So you're speaking...
point of information, Chair.
Hang on. So you are speaking in opposition to postponing. Teresa?
I'm speaking in opposition to postponing also. Historically, KPFT has submitted their budget first. And I know that our interim general manager has worked very, very hard. And the part-time contracted development director has worked very, very hard. And the part-time interim program director has worked very, very hard. I think that this station has loaned the foundation $50,000. I think our budget would look a lot better if we had that money back. They're doing whatever they can to work within a budget, to be prudent with the money. And I don't see why, after having presented to the Finance Committee and having come out of the Finance Committee without a lot of complaints, that we shouldn't pass this. So I'm opposed to postponing. So we can move on and get to the other budgets.
Okay, so there's been a motion and a set. So, Serene?
Thanks. I think it's great that KPFT has its budget ahead, sent to us ahead of the actual start of the new fiscal year. That's a good thing. But I also don't think it's reasonable to say to the PNB, because while the NFC does get to do a lot of the heavy lifting, it is the PNB that is ultimately responsible. And it is not reasonable, it seems to me, to tell the 22 directors, if you want to know the assumptions behind this budget that you are required to approve, go listen to the audio and find the point at which they start saying what it is they're assuming. We're not rejecting the budget. We're saying put it on hold and ask the people who prepared it to put in writing the assumptions behind the numbers. That is not an unreasonable ask.
So, Serene, you've motivated. So now we have the first vote that we will take is if you vote yes, you're supporting Serene's motion to postpone consideration of this until there is a narrative that's provided to the PNB. If you vote no, it will not be postponed. Then if it isn't postponed, we will go ahead and vote on adopting the budget. Madam Secretary, please take the roll. First vote is, if you vote yes, we postpone. If you vote no, we don't postpone.
All right. Irene Adams.
I need a point of clarification here. If if we do not vote, I'll vote. Does it, I know that budgets need to be presented with a narrative as well. But what I'm saying is this our acceptance of this, whether it is with a narrative or not, or what's the deal? I'm not understanding what we're voting on here, and I just need to know.
Okay, so let me clarify.
So I'm going to pass for now. Let me pass. Okay. I'll pass.
Point of information, Chair?
Yes?
I'd like to ask Stephanie a question because I'm learning a new term right now about the narrative, and I wanted to ask Stephanie if this is if the underlying assumptions are usually written out and presented with the budget.
If I have presented budgets to the NFC or the LSBs, there is a fairly detailed notes column that can serve as a narrative. And it's really just to justify where those costs came from. The way that the budget was presented very clearly by the interim general manager to the National Finance Committee, I trust that there is probably something that they had written down or that he had written down that he was reading and referring to as he presented that budget. So most likely I can ask for his notes and we can put it into a notes column.
So let me remind us, we are in the middle of a vote right now. The vote is to postpone. And so Serene and Jim, you're not commenting on this vote. We've already done it. We've already had comments. So, please, Madam Secretary, take the roll for, voting to postpone.
Okay. I have Irina's passing. Teresa Allen.
Allen says no.
Teresa says no. Kaja Brown.
Yes.
Kaja's a yes. Donna Carter.
Yes.
Donna's a yes. Paul DiRienzo.
Yes.
Paul's a yes. Jim Dingaman.
Yes.
Jim's a yes. Fred Dodsworth. Fred.
Dodsworth is a no.
Fred's a no. Jan Goodman.
Jan, you're muted.
I'm going to pass.
Jan passes. Heather Gray.
Yes.
Heather's a yes. Avalia Jones?
No.
Avalia's a no. Zach Caldvier?
No.
Zach's a no. Marianne Martinez?
No.
Marianne's a no. Darlene Pagano?
No.
Darlene's a no. Ron Pinchback?
Abstain.
Ron abstains. Myla Reason?
No.
Myla's a no. Sean Rhodes?
Yes.
Sean's a yes. Serene Roberts?
Yes.
Serene's a yes. Minerva Sanders?
No.
Minerva's a no. Harvey Wasserman?
No.
Harvey's a no. Let me go back around to the people who passed. Irene Adams?
I'm abstaining.
Irene abstains. Jan Goodman. You passed.
I'm gonna abstain.
Jan abstains as well. Madam Chair, the yeses are 7 and the noes, are 9.
Okay, so the motion to postpone fails. So we will go straight to the vote about approving the budget. Yes means you approve the KPFT budget, which has been circulated to you for 2025. No is you do not approve the budget.
All right. Irene Adams.
Abstain.
Irene abstains. Teresa Allen.
Allen says yes, pass the budget.
Teresa's a yes. Todger Brown?
No.
Todger's a no. Donna Carter?
No.
Donna's a no. Paul DiRienzo?
Abstain.
Paul abstains. Jim Dingaman?
No.
Jim's a no. Fred Dodsworth?
I'm going to pass, please.
Fred passes. Jan Goodman?
Jan, you're muted.
Pass.
Jan passes. Pass. Yep. Heather Gray?
No.
Heather's a no. Avalia Jones? Avalia? All right, I'll keep going. Zach Caldvier?
Yes.
Zach's a yes. Marianne Martinez?
Yes.
Marianne's a yes. Darlene Pagano?
Darlene, you're muted.
Yes.
Darlene's a yes. Ron Pinchback?
Ron abstain.
Ron abstains. Myla Reason?
I vote to pass the KPFT budget.
Myla's a yes. Sean Rhodes?
No.
Sean's a no. Serene Roberts?
No.
Serene's a no. Minerva Sanders?
Yes.
Minerva's a yes. Harvey Wasserman?
Yes.
Harvey's a yes. Let me go back around. Fred Dodsworth, you passed.
I'm going to say yes.
Fred's a yes. Jan Goodman, you passed.
Yes. Yep.
Jan's a yes. And Avalia Jones?
Yes.
Thank you. Avalia's a yes. That's everybody who's here. Madam Chair, the yeses are 10 and the noes are 6.
Okay, so that motion carries. The KPFT 2025 budget has been adopted. All right, next is motions from the Governance Committee. And there are the first in the appendices is 5B. First motion, establish personnel committee as a standing committee to assist the network in screening qualified applicants for the position of executive director, for conducting annual evaluations of the executive director, assisting the executive director in personnel matters as requested, and supporting local station boards with evaluations of general managers and program directors. An addition to that is the personnel committee will be comprised of the PNB chair, PNB vice chair, PNB secretary, and the National Finance Committee chair, one director from each station elected by the PNB, and one affiliate director elected by the PNB. It should be noted that it's a vote of the PNB does not effectuate a bylaw amendment. This vote would indicate support for this, but there would have to be a notice period and votes of the PNB and the LSBs to be able to effectuate this as a bylaw amendment. Jim.
All right. I've been on the personnel committee for the entire time I've been on the PNB. And obviously I am supporting a measure like this. On the other hand, I can see that it has enriched the danger of eroding other parts of the bylaws. That is the whole function of the LSB in choosing and evaluating GMs and PDs. And so I'm sort of in a quandary about it because I have been listening intimately into the discussions for several years now and know that people have put a lot of thought into it. But I also don't want to see it erode I personally think the LSB should be also taking seriously their function of choosing GMs and PDs and evaluating them. So, you know, I just have ambivalence about it because I can see we're heading perhaps in a direction where it would weaken that part of the bylaws that we had set up to prevent nepotism, prevent favoritism, et cetera, and cronyism from going into a bonkers land. So I just wanted to air that out openly.
Fred.
Yes, we actually addressed this stuff in the committee with Jim, and I agree with Jim. These are parallel tracks. These are not replacement tracks. The LSPs will have their responsibilities. This does not impede their responsibilities at all. In fact, what this does give is the PNB the resources of a personnel director, which we cannot afford and do not have, so that we do not make egregious errors that end up in litigation. This is the reason that we moved this item forward, and we discussed this at length over a month ago. Thank you very much.
Darlene?
Yeah, I was the chair of the personnel committee last year that brought forward this explanation of what work we could add to help the foundation. It's been a little bit massaged or shortened or whatever the language. Assist the LSBs, it really should be as it was originally put forward. And Jim was on the personnel committee last year as well, is that we meant assistance to mean resources, not any action, not any expansion of the evaluation process of the personnel committee, differing not one iota from the bylaws. The assisting meant giving forms, checklists, templates, whatever an LSB needs to get underway, especially since there's so much turnover. And LSB members, we do not come in already having been vetted for a certain level of skills. So
Darlene, your
time
is up.
Each other. We help each other. Thank you.
Ron?
Yeah, I'm going to be opposed to this because it essentially mutes the influence of the local station boards. This document suggests that the PNB will select these candidates, and it reduces the way it's structured in this proposal. It would really, there's no obligation to have LSB involvement. I just heard a statement saying that, oh, well, they'll be involved, but there's no guarantee. And, you know, that's important. So consider that, because the LSBs, you know, if you take this away from the LSB, what power does the LSB have on anything? So I have my doubts and concerns about
Your time is up, Ron.
Thank you.
Jim, then Teresa, then Minerva.
Jim is at 60 seconds, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Jim's at second round. I think Teresa's first, and I think Minerva's first.
Yeah, let them go ahead of me.
Okay, Teresa, you're 90 seconds, and then Minerva, you're 90 seconds, then Jan, 90 seconds, and then back to Jim.
I'm sorry. I've been chair of the personnel committee, and last year we all had the great fortune to work with an HR professional, Darlene Pagano. I'm looking at the motion in the appendix, and it absolutely does not say that we do the evaluations for the LSBs. They can do their own evaluations. KPFT, there have been years that they have skipped evaluating the general managers and the program directors. And what we're doing right now is assisting by offering templates for the LSBs to evaluate. And we're providing professional guidance for LSB members who might not have an HR professional on their local station boards. I have not only served on this committee this year and last year, but I served, I guess, about 15 years ago when we did a search. I was the secretary at the time, and I think this is a great motion. It's been, well, I just think it'd be very useful. So please look at it, read it again. I don't think you'll find that we are trying to manipulate or control the LSBs. Thank you.
Minerva, 90 seconds, followed by Jan, and then we'll come back to, and followed then by Paul, who hasn't spoken yet, then back to Jim and Ron. Minerva.
Okay, and, I want to thank the committee because this is something that is needed. We are in the process now of putting together a search for a GM, and there was nothing to work with. We had something from a previous group when the last general manager was general manager and program director when they went on a search for those two individuals. And I think this works because it is not overstepping any boundaries. It's basically giving information, and the LSBs would then use this or modify it as they like to make it be tailored to their station. So I don't see anything here that says the PMB is taking over. I think this is a good process, and it's not saying that it can't be improved or set up for the different stations, but this is something to work with, so you're not starting from scratch. Thank you.
Dan, then Paul, then Serene, and then back to Jim and Ron. Jan, you're muted.
So I have been on a number of search committees and evaluation committees from the KPFK LSB over the years. And every time one of these committees starts working, the first thing we have to do is to reinvent the wheel. We go through, we figure out like where should we, you know, like what's the job description, what's the, you know, what's this, what's the that, what's the other. And we spend several meetings, which usually means several months, just reinventing the wheel that of like the basic things before we can proceed to actually do the job that we're supposed to do. So if we should, the LSBs should have forms and formats and suggestions if they're searches, like, you know, where to search and so forth. This is going to make all of the LSBs, I believe, certainly we'll make the KPFK one, LSB personnel jobs much easier. And we should have done this long ago, and I'm super happy that we're now undertaking this and that we'll be able to use this in the future. Thank you.
Madam Chair, so, we have less than 4 minutes.
I'm in favor of it.
Thank you. Madam Chair, we have less than 4 minutes on this subject.
I think we should all, Madam Chair?
Yes?
Let's exhaust the stack.
Yes, that's our policy. Exhaust the stack. And so, Paul and Serene haven't spoken yet, and we'll get back to Jim and, well, actually exhaust the stack for those who have not spoken yet. So it is Paul and Serene.
Great. Thanks. Well, human resources. I am for not having human resources for so long that we need to drop everything and get human resources of all the different peoples we could get. We haven't done anything to get a development director. We have no national news. We pay our workers like $17 an hour and haven't seen a raise in decades. And there's no hope for anybody turning any job at Pacifica Radio into anything more than just a side gig or something. So you're never going to get professional people anyway. Why do we have to focus on how to fire and get rid of people and deal with these problems amongst the people in the airy heights of Pacifica who are constantly getting in trouble and have suing them or being sued? That doesn't happen with the $17 an hour people. So anyway, I'm going to vote against it for that reason. I think it's ridiculous. Let's talk about a development director. That's what I want to talk about. Thank you.
Serene, Heather, you're after the stack. I'll let you on. Serene, 90 seconds. I think it's the first time you've spoken on this.
So I know
Madam Chair.
Yes, Ron?
You just made an arbitrary ruling.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did, because I was also on the stack, and you told me
Ron, the policy.
I know you're going to quote that policy to me.
That the policy
but
is.
The policy also
that
says
the
that
exhaust
we will exhaust
the stack. Right. Ron, right. I'm calling you out of order. Okay, go ahead, Serene, then Heather.
Well, so you're going to give Heather an opportunity?
No, you haven't spoken before, Ron. You've already spoken. Ron, I'm calling you out of order.
Why? Right. Because I'm asking you to be consistent.
Point of order.
Yes,
point of order. Madam Chair, I'm calling Ron Pinchback out of order because he's interrupting you and not letting you respond.
Yeah, I find your point of order well taken.
I bet.
Serene, then Heather.
Madam Chair, to my point of order, would you explain why you're not letting Mr. Pinchback respond at this time?
Because the policy that we have is we exhaust the stack for those who have not spoken yet.
Thank you.
So Serene and Heather have not spoken on this issue yet.
And once you declare we're going to exhaust the stack, you have to exhaust the stack that exists.
Thank you. Ron, you haven't been recognized. Go ahead, Serene. And then Heather, or Heather, do you want to go first? Serene isn't talking yet. Why don't you go ahead, Heather?
No, all I'm asking, Susan, if before we have the vote, if you could read the motion again before we have the vote.
Sure, absolutely. Serene?
Thank you.
All right, I'll go ahead and read the motion. The motion is, let me get myself here.
I pasted it in the chat, Susan, if that's easier.
Yeah, would you mind reading it, Julie? And yes, it's pasted in the chat.
Well, I can read it.
Go ahead, Teresa.
Establish a personnel committee as a standing committee to assist the network in screening qualified applicants for the position of executive director, comma, for conducting annual evaluations of the executive director, comma, assisting the executive director in personnel matters as requested, and supporting local station boards with evaluation of the general managers and program directors, period.
amendment to personnel as a standing committee motion. The personnel committee shall be comprised of the PNB chair, PNB vice chair, PNB secretary, and national finance committee chair, comma, one director from each station elected by the PNB, comma, and one affiliate director elected by the PNB.
All right. Has that, so Myla, your hand wasn't up.
Point of information, Madam Chair. I just want, for clarity's sake, to understand that the initial paragraph or statement has to do with something that was already passed, that we established the personnel committee. The amendment is that it would be a standing committee.
Yes, the motion is to make this a standing committee. It would have to go to a bylaws vote. Yes, the personnel committee has already been stood up this year. Does that clarify?
I think so.
Serene?
So, I'm sorry, is this being made in the context of a bylaw amendment or what?
This would propose, it would have to be a bylaw amendment. Making a committee a standing committee requires a bylaw amendment. And there is not a notice period around this. It is a vote of support from the PNB. So,
but it'll come back to the PNB as a proposed bylaw amendment?
Yes, it would. If a notice period is set up, then there would need to be a vote of the PNB and three of the five LSBs. This does not require a member vote because it is making a standing committee, which is not altering the rights of members.
Okay. So, now I'd like to speak. Thank you. This personnel committee, both this year and last year, continued to insist that LSBs were not entitled to evaluate the executive director, and that is absolutely untrue. The bylaws are perfectly clear that LSBs shall do the evaluation, that they may make a recommendation. So I don't think the personnel committee has a good grasp on what it's supposed to be doing, and reaching out for other tasks, including intervening or being helpful to the LSBs on the evaluations that they need to do locally, seems to me to be a bit of a stretch. It would be good if the PNB could get its own act together before it decides to go visit other people's houses. I am going to be voting against this motion. The idea that in order to keep documents straight and know what you're doing, you have to be a standing committee is not true. If the audit committee ever meets, it hasn't really met in about 2 years, maybe 3 years at this point.
Rain, your time is up. 90 seconds up, Rain.
I'll wrap up.
Thank you, Serene.
They'll prepare the document retention policy, which is
so Serene. That's a new topic. Serene, that's a new topic.
No, it's not.
No, yes, it is, Serene, and you're no longer recognized. You're past the 90 seconds. All right, we're going to go forward to a vote. Yes,
and
you vote for the.
You're a good listener. Look at that.
I call the member out of order.
Thank you. Yes, your point of order is well taken, Fred. The member is out of order, is disputing with the chair and not recognized by the chair. Okay, correct. Julie, will you go ahead and take the vote on this? If you're voting yes, it is to support establishing the personnel committee and its composition. If you're voting no, it is as a permanent committee, as a standing committee. If you're voting no, you're voting against the recommendation to create this as a standing committee.
Point of order, Susan.
Yes.
There was both comments by Ron and myself that were in the 60-second limitation that were not heard yet.
Jim, we exhausted the stack, and we exhausted the stack for those who had not already spoken. You and Ron were both second round. We're going to take the vote.
When was that rule created, Susan?
That rule was created about 6 months ago.
Oh boy. Okay, great.
Irene Adams.
Standing up the personnel committee, yeah.
Irene is a yes. Teresa Allen.
Allen says yes.
Allen's a yes. Kaja Brown.
Yes.
Kaja's a yes. Donna Carter.
Pass.
Donna passes. Paul DiRanzo.
No.
Paul's a no. Jim Dingaman.
Yeah, no, there's too many issues that have to be resolved.
Jim's a no. Fred Dodsworth.
It's a yes.
Fred's a yes. Jan Goodman.
Yes.
Jan's a yes.
Yes.
Gotcha, Jan. Thanks. Heather Gray.
No.
Heather's a no. Avalia Jones.
Yes.
Avalia's a yes. Zach Caldvier.
Yes.
Zach's a yes. Marianne Martinez.
Yes.
Marianne's a yes. Darlene Pagano.
Yes.
Darlene's a yes. Ron Pinchback.
No.
Ron's a no. Myla Reason.
Yes.
Myla's a yes. Sean Rhodes.
No.
Sean's a no. Serene Roberts.
No, ma'am.
Serene's a no. Minerva Sanders.
Yes.
Minerva's a yes. Harvey Wasserman.
Yeah.
Harvey's a yes. Back up to the top. Donna Carter, you passed?
No.
Donna's a no. And that's everyone. Madam Chair, the yeses are 12 and the noes are 7. So the motion passes.
The motion passes. Right.
Madam Chair, point of information, a question, please.
Yes, Darlene.
Who and how is responsible for getting us to the next step, which is the vote on a bylaws change?
So, we have not really decided that, because we set up a notice period. A notice period has got to be set up.
Right.
And there was disagreement about whether people understood the bylaw amendment that had been put forward. And so that has been essentially withdrawn. There would need to be a new notice period set up, established by the PNB, as we did the previous one, in order to consider this for a bylaw amendment and anything else, including the bylaw amendment that was previously pending, which might go forward or not.
Does that answer your question? Somewhat. I was curious as to how we're going to keep this from going the way of so many other votes that the PNB has taken, which is we take the vote and then that's the last anything is ever heard of that vote again. That is an editorial comment.
Understood. So let me just advise that we are at 10:20 Eastern time. I think we have time for 5B2. And I'll read this motion. It's another one come out of the governance committee. Whereas audio recordings of meetings and minutes are essential for verification of attendance, board membership, and board actions, be it resolved that all local station board chairs, secretaries, and Zoom hosts are requested to ensure that audio recordings from all open meetings are sent within a period of 1 week to the Pacifica Calendar webmaster for posting on kpftx.org, and that minutes be sent to the webmaster or posted in the designated online location. Speaking to this motion then, which came out of committee, Myla, then Fred.
I just want to say, as a Zoom host for the KPFK local station board and also the KPFK fundraising committee, I usually make a habit of converting the audio and sending it to Otis to post at KPFTX within an hour or two of the conclusion of any given meeting. So a week seems like an extremely generous period of time. I'd like to see it happen sooner. I think it's easiest to do it right away rather than forgetting about it because it hasn't been done immediately. So I, as I said, I make a habit of sending it as soon as possible so that I can clear that from my all the things that I am responsible for. Thank you.
Fred, then Serene, then Donna.
Yes, we did not meet last week as a governance committee, despite having given everybody 2 weeks' notice about the governance committee and giving an agenda because we couldn't make quorum. So in such a case, since we can't make quorum and we can't provide an audio because we haven't actually adjourned the meeting or opened the meeting, how do we expect to deal with those sorts of issues? I haven't gotten any report backs from any of the people who said they were going to do all this work on the governance committee. It is not clear to me that I'm ever going to get any work that people commit to out of the governance committee. And it's really, I'm beginning to feel like it may not just be worth our time, having yet another committee that doesn't actually accomplish anything.
Serene, then Donna, then Teresa.
Okay, I would like to offer an amendment to the motion that all recordings are to be presented in full without editing because I know that I've been present at meetings where things were said that do not end up in the final recording, and that's a problem.
The WBAI.
So, Serene, you have you've given some explanation. The if I understand what you're saying, the motion to amend would be to add the words "I requested to ensure the audio recordings in full." Add in full. Is that correct, Serene?
Unedited and in full.
Okay, unedited and in full. Okay, is there any objection to Serene's motion to amend?
I object.
Okay, so
I actually have a suggestion about the wording, if that's possible.
So is it that you were objecting to the concept or you would like the wording to be changed?
I'd like the wording to be changed.
Okay.
To say from, the recording should be from the time of convening until the time of adjournment. So any recording that happens before the meeting is called to order and convened or after it is adjourned should not be necessarily be required to be included in the recording.
So let me suggest, let me ask Serene, how are you about that?
Convened and adjourned by the chair.
Okay, so unedited and in full from the time it is convened by the chair to the time it is adjourned. Is that correct?
By the chair. In both cases, add by the chair.
Okay.
Because that's been part of the problem.
By the chair. Okie dokie. Is there any objection to the motion as amplified by Myla? Hearing none, that motion to amend passes. Serene, did you have more you wanted to raise?
Madam Chair, we have exhausted that subject time.
Okay, so we're going to need information. Yeah, we're going to exhaust the stack, Donna, then Teresa, and then we will vote. Donna?
I'd like to make an amendment or change to 3 days versus, what is it, a week or 7 days?
Is there any objection to Donna's motion to amend to make it 3 days rather than 7 days.
Point of information.
Yes.
I know it's easy enough for me to convert the recording and get it sent to Otis immediately. It may not be as easy for the secretary to provide minutes. Does the motion also include getting the minutes posted within a week? Because that, I think it may be difficult to get those minutes.
I don't believe that it does.
Does not include minutes.
It does not include minutes. It's just the recordings.
Oh, okay.
So is there any objection to changing from 1 week to, from 7 days to 3 days?
I have a question.
Yes, what's your question?
So you're now suggesting that the secretary of these committees and these LSBs provide a transcript or a audio copy of the meeting. I don't have a clue how to get one of those, and I'm sure that my secretary, Michael Chang, has no clue either. He listens to it, it's posted. So I don't quite get how this works. I know that even if he doesn't attend, it is posted, so he listens to it and provides minutes from that listening.
So we are at time. We're exhausting the stack. We have a motion to amend to 3 days, and we have questions about how you actually do this. Teresa, and then Serene, you've already spoken. We're exhausting the stack. Teresa.
In response to Fred's question, I would think if we're using KPFT, I'm not kidding, if we're using the Pacifica Foundation Zoom, then our technician would automatically know how to put the audio into KPFTX. And if there's an individual that's using their Zoom, I would think they would know how to get the audio to the technician to put it on KPFTX. So I'm going to say yes to this motion.
Okay, so the current motion is to amend, to change from 7 days to 3 days. Is there any objection?
I have a point of information.
What's your point? What's your question?
So it's really to Donna. When you say 3 days, do you mean 3 business days or 3 calendar days? Because I'm thinking if someone has a meeting on Friday, you know, and then they have the weekend, what can you clarify?
3 business days sounds fine to me.
Point of information, Susan.
Yes, Jim.
I do this all the time. And this may be one of the first times ever I will agree with Fred that, you know, it's not a slam dunk. Because, sure, I know how to do that conversion quickly into an MP3 or an MP4. But I don't know how to put it into KPTFX. I usually would depend on others to do that. So there's a lot of technical roads there that I'm not familiar with. And, you know, I understand Donna's desire to get it up there quickly. I agree with that. But on the other hand, you know, I don't know the ability of these people who are secretaries to, one, convert it to an MP3 quickly, and, two, how Otis is being able to upload it, because I guess really he's the one who does it. So I just want to sort of bring that into play as a practical matter. Thanks.
So, Jim, let me just raise here. We're looking to vote on a fine tuning, which would be instead of 7 days, 3 business days. But what I'm hearing is there are a lot of discussion around how do you do this? Who's able to do it? Is it different if it's Maestro? Is it different if it's Otis's Zoom?
Yeah, right.
So exactly. I would suggest that we postpone consideration of this until the next meeting some of these, Teresa is shaking her head. So you're opposing that. I'm going to let everybody who's got their, we're past time, everybody.
I have a point of personal privilege. My name was mentioned. May I be recognized?
Yes.
Mr. Dingman said that he has never agreed with me before, and I want to dispute that. We have agreed on many things and even voted in common on many things. Not as many as we have not voted on, but I think that
Fred, I know I recognize you, but this is off topic. This is off topic and not helpful for time. And we are at the end of time. We are at 10:31 and our time for going into executive session, and we are not as yet to a point where people are ready to vote even on one amendment. So,
this direction going here, almost all
the people who have your hands up, Teresa, Serene, Myla, Jim, Ron. Teresa.
Yes, Madam Chair, I thought there were no objections to these amendments. And I thought we were ready to vote on the motion as amended.
Okay, if that's true, I think there was no objection to the, you know, complete and in full and so forth. I guess we reached agreement over three business days. I didn't hear a final. No, we hadn't.
Yeah. That's okay. When all the questions started. So the previous ones about in full, no objection, but
no
I don't
objection,
have any
but
reference.
This one, this yep. is when people started saying, hey, I don't yep. know if we can do this and what it takes to do it. So we didn't have agreement about that. There isn't agreement on that amendment, Teresa.
Perhaps there was a question, Madam Chair, but perhaps we can ask if there's any objection and move on.
Is there any objection to moving the time to three business days? Hearing none.
Wait a minute. No, yes. Yes, there is an objection.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, fine. No. Understood. I'm fine with that. I mean, it's not my decision, but yes, I agree. There was not agreement on that. So that's made that clear.
Can we vote?
We are not ready then to vote on this motion because we have not agreed on the second amendment to it. So I'm going to ask that consideration be postponed to the September 19th meeting so that some of these issues can be address for all of us who have questions. Is there any objection to postponing consideration to the 19th? Hearing none, that's what we'll do. We're now at 10.
Please put my name down. Objecting. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. So please list, Madam Secretary. It is 10:33 Eastern Time, and so that means that we are ready to go into executive session, and let me request the secretary to take us off the stream.